I can remember, excuse me. I can remember when our kids were little and they were learning how to swim, so little that they were smaller than actually the shallowest part of the pool, where they're in the water and they're playing in the water and having fun, and they're clinging close to you because they know that if they go down or you let go of them, they're going to drown. And so they're learning how to swim, they're experiencing the water. And isn't it interesting at times if you take the child and you start to head to the deep end, even though the deep end's not going to be over your head, you start heading that way, how they kind of cling to you more and more because they see the water rising and they see the circumstances around them, and they know that they have to cling to you as their parent to stay above water, to stay alive. So it is for us. We are dependent on God, clinging to Him for our safety and our security. We need to hold on to Him to keep us from drowning in this world. And we're dependent on Him to secure us to Himself. If we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit secures our salvation. Today we're continuing on in our series, Who We Are in Christ. This idea of being in Christ is actually part of the passage we're even looking at today. So if you want to use the Pew Bible in front of you, you can. That's page 976. Otherwise, your own Bible. We're going to be in Ephesians 1 today. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. But I just want to show you how even in this passage, it's talking about being in Christ. Verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." Verse 11, it says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance." Verse 13, it says, "In Him you were sealed." And that's where we're going to be today, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." So this is what I want to look at today as we dive into these verses. I want to look at how in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, you are sealed, you are secure, and you are belonging to God. First part, through the Holy Spirit you are sealed. That comes from verse 13. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't this amazing? This happens at conversion for the believer, that you are sealed. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This is truly amazing. When you become in Christ, you're converted from being spiritually dead, Ephesians 2 talks about, to being now alive together with Christ. So when you believe the good news of the gospel, you are in Christ. It is no longer foolishness to you. See, the gospel really only has two options for you: the power of God unto salvation, or foolishness to those who are perishing. When you're in Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. So when you become in Christ, you believe the good news of the gospel. When you're in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. John 3 uses the language of being born again. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So when you are in Christ, you are born again. When you are in Christ, you're sanctified. You're set apart by God for Him and His purposes. When you are in Christ, you are justified, meaning that you and God are no longer at ends and God's wrath is no longer abiding on you. And lastly, when you are in Christ, you are sealed. And that's what we're looking at today. You are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And that is an amazing news in and of itself. If you are not in Christ, if you are not in Christ, the truths that we are talking about today do not apply to you. The truths that we're talking about from Ephesians 1, 13, and 14 do not apply to you if you are not in Christ, meaning that you have not been forgiven of your sins. You have not been born again. You have not been sanctified, justified. You have not been sealed. But man, if you are not in Christ, there's an offer on the table for you to come today. Come today to Jesus and find rest for your soul, for the forgiveness of sins. And so if at all, at any point through this message, God is working in your heart to come to Christ, do it today, because this promise of the Holy Spirit sealing you is for those people who are in Christ when you believed. Come to him and receive an eternal future that is secured for you. The NIV translation of verse 13 says this: when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Sealed by the Holy Spirit is a sign of ownership. Cattle are actually branded with a seal by their masters to indicate who they are and who they belong to. When I was younger, I grew up, my parents grew up on a dairy farm, so my grandparents owned the dairy farm. They had about 100 cattle. And I remember as a kid being there a lot of times. And I wasn't there so much to necessarily do the chores, but as a young kid, I remember playing in the hay bales. I remember riding the go-kart around the barn. I remember shooting my BB gun. I remember doing a lot of cool stuff. But so they had about 100 dairy cow cattle there, and all the cows had the tags in their ear, the big orange tags with the number on it, and that's how you knew which cow was what, and that's how you knew who the cows belonged to. So the Holy Spirit does for us. It identifies that we are God's possession, that we belong to him, that we are his children, meaning that our identity is a child of God as a believer. This is so important because a lot of times in our life, we don't necessarily know where we fit in. I know, especially at a high school age, like, am I the athlete? Am I the nerd? Am I the nerd trying to be the athlete? Am I the athlete trying to be the nerd? Am I the cool kid? Am I not the cool kid? This is good news because in Christ, you belong to him and his family. You know where you belong. So the Holy Spirit gives us that identity as a child of God. Another thing it does is it represents, we're talking about being sealed. Sealed sometimes represents things that are branded to prevent against being stolen or to prevent against theft. This year, actually, I started frisbee golfing thanks to Nick Doakless and some others. Is Nick in here? Anyways, I started frisbee golfing this year, and he was kind of showing me how, and I really, really enjoyed it. And one time we were frisbee golfing, and we were getting ready to go, and we're sitting in the car, and he's like, hey, I just want to make a quick phone call. I found this disc the other day when we were playing. I was looking for my disc that was lost, and I found this disc, and there's a name and a number on it. And that just blew my mind. In my mind, when I'm frisbee golfing, and if I throw that thing so far to the right or left that it's gone and I can't find it, I just assume that that is gone for the next person when they find it. But it turns out this disc that he found had the name and number on it, so he called it and said, hey, you know, I found your disc. Are you wanting this back? And the guy said no. You know, he let Nick continue to play with use the disc. But that seal represents that we're branded, that we belong to someone. It shows that that seal keeps us from being stolen. And you're probably thinking, well, who's going to steal me? The truth is no one if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But we do know that 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded and be watchful because your adversary, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So being sealed with the Holy Spirit is significant from being taken. It brings to mind that if we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and belong to God, nothing is going to steal us. Nothing is going to separate us from God. We see that in Romans 8, 34 and 35. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is seated at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? If you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are not going to be separated from God. Jesus, speaking about how he is the good shepherd and how him and the Father are one in John 10, says this: you should find comfort as a believer in Christ, that you will not be taken. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says in John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Get that? No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I hope you see that being sealed with the Holy Spirit is security. This word sealed in this passage is actually used a couple other times in Scripture. Revelation 7:3 says, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." See, God is protecting his people. He's sealing them. He's protecting them by sealing them. And you see that in that passage. And here's the thing. You cannot seal yourself. Notice the Holy Spirit is the one that seals you. God is the one that has the power to seal you and protect you and keep you. But if you are in Christ, you can't do that on your own. God does that. But if you are in Christ, that is what God does for you. Pastor Dylan sometimes is really good at sending out birthday cards and just loving people through postcards. I hope I'm not giving away one of his secrets. But he uses the fountain pen, as you know, and he's actually gotten me started on fountain pens a little bit, so I'm a beginner. And so he writes with a fountain pen, and one thing he does is he sprays like a coat on this to prevent it from, to prevent moisture from like making the ink run or fade. And so he's sealing that card. It helps the card from being unrecognizable. And I hope the Holy Spirit is doing that for you in your life, sealing you, that your life shows you, that your own personal life is showing you that you are being guided by the Spirit in truth, guided by the Spirit in righteousness, keeping you from blending in with the world. If you are in a difficult place here today, I pray that the Spirit guides you to Jesus. I pray that the Spirit is working even now as this word is being preached, that you find comfort in Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to seal your salvation, but it's also going to guide your life. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict people in area of sin, righteousness, judgment, the book of John tells us. It's also protecting you from being influenced from apostasy or false teaching. It's sealing faith in, unbelief out. So you see how the Holy Spirit is at work. Another place that this word seal is used in the Scriptures is Matthew 27:66. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. Again, we see this word used here, sealing shut. It keeps us knowing truth, Jesus said. In John 14:15-17, it says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," talking about the Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever." Now catch this, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All this talk about the Holy Spirit this morning is a reminder of God's love, his power, and more importantly, his commitment to his people. And that God is protecting us as people in Christ through trials and through testing in this life. Now get this, being sealed with the Holy Spirit does not do this. It does not keep you from actually facing trials or situations that might test your faith. What it does do is it works through those situations for your good, even in the moment sometimes when it doesn't feel like that is what is happening. If the Holy Spirit is working in you, in those difficult moments, you see how that you can only get it through those moments by being in Christ and the Holy Spirit working in you and for you. That's why James 1:2 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect complete, lacking in nothing. So in these trials, God is working in such a way that you would be whole, that you would be complete, that you would be lacking in nothing. Because the Holy Spirit in these situations are going to help produce character in you, godly character in you, that you may be complete. And that doesn't sound enjoyable, and I can bet that there's a lot of people in here that look at those times and would say it's not necessarily enjoyable, but it's in those moments that God works through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 3-7 says this, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you rejoice. In this you rejoice, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." This verse, this passage, these verses specifically in verse 6 and 7 is saying that if your faith is being tested, that's more precious than gold, because the testing of your faith is resulting in you to show you who you belong to. Sometimes the trials or testing of your faith reveal where you are truly at in your life, even in your relationship with God sometimes. It also might reveal where joy is coming from. Where is your joy coming from? How is God working in your life? How is he showing you that he is still working in your life? I look back on a lot of difficult times in my life, specifically some of our early years in marriage where God was really working through some of my own heart issues, but I also saw how God was guiding me with his Spirit to obedience, to be faithful to the scriptures, and to actually live out what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so it's not like I'd ever wish to go back to those years and relive those, but at the same time, I see how God was working in those years and keeping me with the Spirit. Trials that I'm talking about here are an opportunity for us to turn towards Jesus. And remember, if you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are being guarded through faith by God's power. So we looked at how the Holy Spirit, in that you are secure, through the Holy Spirit you are secure, verse 14 in Ephesians. This passage is still talking about how the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So here's a quick warning. If our security is found in anything except God, it's at risk of falling apart, being crushed, being destroyed. If your security is in anything other than God, it's at risk of being shattered, crushed into pieces, because nothing can hold up to the pressures of this world except God and having security in him alone. The things of this world, the Bible says, are passing away. Jesus said that moth and rust are going to destroy the things of this world. And so if our security is in any of those things, it will not withstand. It will not hold up. Our security needs to be in God. Think of this for a second. If you're a Packers fan, you can't put all your security in that. That team changes every year. I mean, I don't know how many people were playing last year that are playing this year, but that's an ongoing change. If your security is in the government, and I'm thankful for our government because we live in one of the best countries in the world, but if our security is in that, you can see how even that, you don't know what direction things are going. If our security is in our homes, that changes on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you could have the best job you ever wanted and come home and be like, wow, I was let go from that job, and you're jobless. You're looking for another job. So our security can't be in our homes. Our security can't be in our health. One year you go in for a physical, you have great blood pressure. Next year you go in, it's high. One year you go in, everything's going fine. Next year you go in, they want to take a biopsy and see if a spot is cancerous. So our security can't be in our health. Our security can't be in our friendships. Friendships are good. I would encourage friendships. Pastor Dylan knows I encourage community. But it can't be strictly in those. I look at my friendships from high school. I only know one person from high school, from when I was in high school. So our security can't be in our relationships either. And lastly, our security can't be in our own power, in our own strength to get things done. Our security has to be in God. If we do it in our own strength, that usually leads to pride, and then we're usually humbled shortly after that. Just a quick illustration about that. Nicole and I play cards sometimes at night, and one of the games we play, we have to keep score. And I always say, what do you want your team name to be? And then I'll give myself a team name. And inside of me, I want to put winner or something. Something really good like that, but I'm nervous because if I write winner and then she beats me, it's humbling. And so our security cannot be in ourselves. Not only are we secure, we experience God through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14 again. It says guarantee. Some translations use down payment. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of belonging to God until he acquires full possession of us, meaning that we are fully with him for eternity. The idea of having a down payment or guarantee should make the believer feel secure, loved, because we have been chosen by God to belong to God. And we get a little glimpse now, and we get a little bit more of him. We get a lot more of him, later. And so just an illustration with this, my wife and I took 6 students to Life Conference. We stayed at the Marriott, Marriott World Trade Center. I think it's one of the biggest Marriotts in the United States. It's in Orlando. And when I was booking the registration and planning out the event, I had to submit, I think it was like a $200 deposit to secure that room. So when I did that, I was like, well, we better be going because they just took $200. And so there was a deposit there to secure that room so that we could have that room. And then when we got there, we paid for the rest. So it is like with the Holy Spirit. By him taking residence inside of us, he's securing for us, he's securing for himself us. And then later, when we get to be with him in eternity, we get all of him. So the Holy Spirit is giving us what we need for now as God's people, and the rest will come in eternity when we fully get to be with God. Think of how valuable that is, that God would deposit himself in us to secure us to himself. I think that's just incredible as I've been meditating on these scriptures this week. And I want you to see this because sometimes we get so focused on what we need to do that we miss out on what God has already done. Sometimes we get so into this works-based mode that we forget that God has chosen us. He has called us. He has put his Holy Spirit in us. And so you don't need to doubt the security you have in your relationship with God. Let me just talk about some reasons why you actually might doubt your security you have from the Holy Spirit. The first is unrepentant sin. Ongoing unrepentant sin in your life is going to cause you to doubt the security you have from the Holy Spirit. And actually, in Ephesians 4:30, it says this: do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This word grieve in this passage means to irritate, to distress, to offend, to insult. Do not do that to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, repent and turn towards Christ, because ongoing unrepentant sin is going to cause you to question your relationship with God, and it should. It should question if you're walking faithfully with the Lord, if you're living in ongoing unrepentant sin. You need to examine yourself. You need to look and say, am I truly walking with God? Am I being obedient to what he's calling me to do? And so the solution here, even today, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your own heart today, but I do know this, that if you are living in unrepentant sin, God is giving you an opportunity to turn towards him. because his arms are open. He's giving you opportunity to repent and turn towards him. And that's the solution. The solution is not to irritate or offend or push the Holy Spirit away. The solution is to let the Holy Spirit work within you. Another reason why you might doubt the security you have in the Holy Spirit is because you compare yourselves to other Christians. Instead of looking at what God has done for you, you're too busy looking at what everyone else is doing around you. When you're too busy looking at what everyone else is doing around you, you miss what God is wanting to do in you and what he has done for you. And it is good to learn from other people. It's good to have that influence where you're being mentored, discipled. But don't be so distracted that you're doubting your own security and your relationship with God that you're distracted by looking at what everyone else is doing. Another reason why you might doubt your security from the Holy Spirit is immaturity. Here's the thing. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, when you become a believer, you're in Christ. So you're in Christ at that moment. And we might doubt our security because sometimes we think, when I do this, God is going to love me more. When I actually achieve this, then God is going to adopt me into his family. No, our immaturity or lack of spiritual growth should not cause us to question our security in God, because the Holy Spirit makes us secure. Now, with that being said, as believers, we should be pursuing maturity. Last thing, you might doubt your security because it's the only thing you know. If you were saved at a young age, if the Holy Spirit has saved you at a young age, it might be the only thing you know. And we celebrate the fact that children can make decisions to decide to follow Jesus, to get baptized, to live their life for Jesus. We celebrate that. As a youth pastor here, I love that families are focused on the gospel, on the scriptures, on living it out. But sometimes what happens is if at a young age you make a profession to follow Christ, you might doubt your security in the Holy Spirit because it's the only thing you know. It's not a bad thing to be a believer at a young age. It's an honor and privilege. So through the Holy Spirit, you belong to God, verse 14. It says, Ephesians 1:14 says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The phrasing here is using the word our. Why do you think it's using the word our there? That might actually throw some of you off, but it's using the word our here because it's talking about how both Jews and Gentiles are now have a hope to inherit the new life that is coming in Jesus. So God's plan is including both Jews and Gentiles as his treasured possession, as his people. Picture that for a second. You have these two groups of people that are totally opposite as far as their worldviews, and God is saying, I'm calling these two groups of people to be my people. It's incredible because the Old Testament language is mainly focused on Israel being God's possession. Exodus 19:5 says, now therefore you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And so it's shifting from Israel being God's group of people to now both Jews and Gentiles being included in this inheritance, being included into belonging to God. Just to help us see that a little bit more, Ephesians 2:12 says, Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now the Gentiles are a part of this inheritance and belong to God. And so that's why it says our inheritance. And think about that for a second. Only the gospel can do that. Only the gospel can bring people that could be considered enemies against each other actually in community with one another. And I'm not saying that's easy. I'm just saying that it's possible because of the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that we have different ages, ethnic groups, different social classes coming together is because the gospel unites us. Yesterday morning we had men's breakfast and there was different generations represented. And it was exciting to see. It was exciting to see that what brought us together yesterday morning here at church to eat some good food and have some good fellowship was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:6 says, "This is the mystery. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." You see this. Believers are God's possession. And if you are in Christ, you belong to God. And we know that when we belong to God, our body is no longer our own. We lay it down and we give it to God for him to use as a sacrifice to him. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You no longer belong to yourself, you belong to God." I want to read a quote from a commentary. It says, "Elsewhere in the New Testament, redemption is always an act of God. Here, too, he is the agent of redemption and the one who possesses his people. He has made them his own. They are his treasured possession." If you are in Christ, you are valuable and significant to God. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." You see this in the context of Ephesians. I'm pulling a lot of verses today out of the book of Ephesians so that you can see how the idea of us belonging to God is significant. Let me put that in simple terms for a second. We're sitting here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 2019. And the reason we're sitting here is because God is still bringing people and calling people and drawing people back to himself. If you are in Christ, you are God's possession. He has called you. He has predestined you. You are his. You belong to him. And when we belong to God, something truly amazing awaits us. Verse 14 says, our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. I want to look at this word inheritance for a little bit. It's the idea of having possession of salvation, which is given to God's children. By grace you have been saved. You probably know this one, Ephesians 2:6-7. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What awaits us as believers? What awaits us as believers? Our inheritance. One of the Bible dictionaries says this, that the believer's inheritance is described more specifically as eternal and joyful existence with God. Believers are promised an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Inheriting the world to come, which is talking about here, is a guarantee for those who belong to God's family, those people who are in Christ. And that truly, truly is good news for you, for me. This gift of salvation, I hope you truly see it as a good news. It's not something that you can earn. It's something that's freely given that you receive by faith. It's given to you by grace. You receive it through faith. And I hope you see this as good news because God, in his majesty and substance and who he is as God and in his character, will make anything on this earth look dim and just blah in light of being with him and knowing him. And Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. I pray as a church that our treasure is in heaven, God himself, that we long as a church, as a people, to know him, to be with him one day. There's no better place than to be in God's presence, knowing and enjoying him forever. And if you are in Christ today, we looked at how you are sealed, you are secure, and you are belonging to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit on us so that we can see and know that we are sealed, that we are secure, and that we belong to you, God. If we don't belong to you and if we are living our lives our own way, God, convict us now. If you are here and you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus, I pray that you do that now, because God is willing to secure you. God is willing to make you a part of the family. God is willing to give you a belonging. God, help us to live in light of that, knowing that you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died. Not only that, you gave us yourself. Your Holy Spirit dwells in your people. The church comes together, and your presence dwells among the church, because the church is your body, and the Holy Spirit dwells among your people. God, do your work here today. Provide comfort, encouragement for those who are struggling. Provide security for those who have been walking faithfully with you. Help us to put our faith in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.